This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now, and let's bring in Eli Gold from Alabama. Hey, Eli, how are you?
I am well, and do me a favor tomorrow. Please tell Mike Emmerich that I said hello. Mike and I worked together in minor league hockey decades and decades ago, and then we have remained friends through my time in the National Hockey League. I never did reach the network level, but I worked at the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators, and Mike and I go back forever. So please tell him that I said hello.
That's nice. Awesome. I'm in heaven right now. I got to tell you that, just so I'd be able to talk hockey for 30 seconds, because you have no idea how hard it is for me to try to squeeze in just 2 minutes of hockey in Brownstown, just so you know that.
I can imagine, but we'll sneak some in. And, you're going to laugh. I get a phone call every year. This is a true story. Right before the college football season, I get a phone call every year from the Edmonton Oilers radio network. The guy who does their weekly talk shows and their pregame and postgame and between period stuff is a huge Alabama fan, for whatever reason. And he makes it a point because he can, because he's the host of the show and everybody else be darned. And he calls every year before football, and we tape an interview that he airs on his Oilers Daily talk show or whatever it is. So there's hockey fans in all sorts of pockets of the country. And, I remember when I was in the World Hockey Association, when I did the Birmingham Bulls games in the WHA, the other league, if you will, back in the day, we used to come in and played the Cleveland Crusaders. And they had Jerry Cheevers in nets, the former Boston Bruin, and so many others. So, there's been some, the Cleveland Barons used to play hockey, and there was some good hockey played in Cleveland over the years.
And we're excited because Andre Lacroix lives in Cleveland. I don't know if you remember Andre or not.
Oh, sure. I didn't know he lived in Cleveland.
He's in Cleveland. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend
really?
Of the show. So,
a great,
right, let's
great
get
talent.
To Eli. It means everything to me. But let's get to football before I get kicked off the air here for talking
I hear you.
Hockey with you, Eli. All right, so what do you think? What do you think about the Browns bringing in Jedrick Wills? What are your thoughts on that right out of the gate?
Well, I think it's a wonderful – so let's put it like this. Everything I've seen of Jedrick, and I've seen him, of course, since he came out of Lexington, Kentucky, and so on, he's an outstanding young man, and the guy can play a great offensive line. I mean, you don't get onto the Outland Trophy watch list just because you're a nice guy. You don't get, you don't become the offensive player of the year just because you're a nice guy. I looked up, knowing that we were going to be on the show this morning here, this afternoon, where you are. He missed 7 assignments. I went back. I didn't have the numbers from this past just completed season, but he missed 7 assignments in 714 snaps the prior year. If you don't have your abacus handy, that's 99.9% of efficiency. The coaches grade everything, of course. He missed 7 assignments in 714 snaps. first team all SEC, and you saw what the Southeastern Conference did in the draft. I mean, they ran away from every other conference as far as players who were selected. Everybody, a consensus All-America. The big question is going to be, where do the Browns use him? You know, he was a right tackle in high school. He was a right tackle in college, which at Alabama, and interestingly in high school, that was the blind side for a left-handed quarterback. Here at Alabama, a guy by the name of Tua Tagovailoa. So he protected Tua's blind side. Will they continue to use him as a right tackle, which he's used to doing, or will they move him to the left side to protect the right-handed quarterback's blind side? And how quickly does he make that? He's certainly talented enough, and he's bright enough to do it. It's just, we've all written with our right hand all of our lives, and all of a sudden you got to write with your left hand. How easy is that to make the transition? Well, it's the same deal here, so it'll be interesting to see.
Eli, had Tua been a right-hander, do you think they would have switched Jedrick over to left tackle this year?
That's a great question. I don't know. I can't speak for Nick Saban. Plus the fact Alex Leatherwood, who played left tackle for Alabama, was an all-SEC first-team selection by the coaches and by everybody. The AP had him as a second-team guy. Going back to his numbers, and I do have his numbers from this year, Alex Leatherwood, only missed six assignments in 694 snaps. Okay? So he's another outstanding guy. He was a high school All-America. So it wasn't like Alex Leatherwood was chopped liver. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So whether they would have made that swap or not is certainly not my call, not my decision. But Bama was blessed with a spectacular offensive line, starting offensive line. That was a finalist for the Joe Moore Award, which goes every year in college to the best offensive line. So it's a great question you ask, but I don't know because Leatherwood was spectacular in his own right.
Eli Gold joining us, Alabama play-by-play man. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on the Browns too, and they had a nice little SEC run there with their first four picks, and two kids from LSU and Grant Delpit leading the way, and Jacob Phillips at linebacker.
I'll tell you what, I was surprised that Delpit was still around as long as he was in the draft, because I've seen him make some spectacular plays on the football field. And, you watch certain things, you don't know what teams are looking at and what their needs are and this, that, and the other. I understand all that. But like everybody else, we sat around, with 55 million other people watching the draft all weekend. And I said to my wife at one point, I said, remember that guy? I said, I can't believe nobody's taken him yet. So that shows you that my belief in Delpit's talents are quite high. I'll tell you something. I know, and I know people in Big Ten country will beg to differ, and that's fine. They should be supportive of their local conference, if you will. But having seen SEC ball for 30-some-odd years now, every single snap, in my mind, looking at life through crimson-colored glasses, I understand that. But from my standpoint, there's no college football like the SEC. And I know Big Ten fans should support their conference. They should say, well, Eli's full of crap. But I will respectfully say that from my seat, there's nothing like SEC football. So you get people, I don't care if they were second string or third string in the SEC, they're still darn good. There's no question about that. So I think the Browns did well, and I hope everything, turns out well. They are deserving of, some good times there already. They really are.
Eli Mack
I probably
Wilson
shouldn't
was...
say this. I don't know if I should, but when Kenny Stabler passed away, you remember the Snake.
Sure.
The great quarterback. He was my color man. you know, at Alabama for many years. And Snake passed away. And then my next color man, who was a brilliant man, somebody you guys know, was Phil Savage, former general manager of the Browns. And Phil stayed with me until he opted to move on to that AAF and go to Phoenix, Arizona. And of course, that league blew up, and now he's with the Jets. But because of Phil working with me and me learning a lot, and, you know, I come into Cleveland. I do NFL games for Sports USA. That's one of the two syndicators in the league. So I've been in Cleveland for a lot of football. So it's an area, Lord knows, they deserve to get back to the heydays of Jim Brown and all those guys, because it's a great, great football city.
Eli, Mack Wilson plays linebacker for the Browns. It seemed as if Nick Saban thought he should have stayed in school another year. And we started to see some things from Mack last year. If Mack had stayed in school and had progressed, you think he was a first-rounder, second-rounder this year? And what do you think of him overall?
Overall, I think he would have been a first-rounder. I personally do. And again, that's just old Eli. I'm not Nick Saban, and I you know, Coach Saban has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. But from my seat, I mean, Mack was a great leader on the team. Along with Dylan Moses and other guys at the linebacker spot. But Mack always seemed to be around the ball. He was, you know, you were in good shape when he was out there. So, no, he's an outstanding ball player. We loved Mack down here, and, you know, I just want to continue to see him get better and better and better, because he's a great guy. He really is.
Eli, I'm just curious your thoughts on college football in general for next year. And
sure.
You know, how important it is to get the season in.
Well, it's so important for so many things. You know, looking at it again from our state of Alabama, you know, we don't have Major League Baseball here. I'm talking, you know, we can't go down the street and see the Indians play. We can't stay home and see the Browns play, you know, on a given weekend. You can't go down to the arena and see the Cavs play. We don't have that in the state of Alabama. And in many of our SEC footprint states, a lot of them don't have major league sports. So in our part of the country, and again, I can speak specifically to Alabama, in our state, people talk college football 24/7, 365. Rightfully or wrongfully, you know, there's minor league sports, there's the racetrack at Talladega for NASCAR when they run, but in our state, everything revolves around college football. So from that standpoint, it's very important. And of course, from a business standpoint, not, you know, the University of Alabama will be impacted by a loss of funding, but think about, you know, UAB and Jacksonville State and North Alabama and South Alabama, all these schools that on a bit of a smaller budgetary scale will be impacted in a hugely significant way. So I personally believe that somehow, some way, before the end of this academic year, and that would be the 2021 academic year, which ends, I guess, what, April or May of 2021, somewhere in there, there's going to be college football. It could be totally devastating, not only as far as a social study would be concerned, but from a business standpoint. I mean, that money that's brought in by football has such a trickle-down effect to all elements of the university, not just other athletics, not the Olympic, the non-revenue sports, not just that, but You know, money buys computers and does this and does that. I mean, it would be a terrible trickle-down effect. So I'm hoping and praying, and for my own sanity, too. I want to get back behind the microphone. I'm hoping and praying that there is a college football season somewhere between now and the end of the academic year. But, of course, that's not at all my call. I'm just an observer like everybody else. But I'm praying for it to come back. I sure am.
Eli, thank you so much. Next time you see Nick Saban, tell him we wish he never would have left the Browns and things would have been much
different. You know, he talks, and this is honest to God's truth. He talks so, he lights up when he talks about his time with the Browns. We were talking the other day, we did a talk show the other day, and we were discussing him and Antonio Langham when he played for the Browns, and of course, Coach Belichick. And it, when you start talking about his time in Cleveland, he just lights up. He really has very, very warm thoughts about his time with the Browns.
Well, tell him we still think about him. So
we'll do it. It's been a pleasure to be on with you guys today.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on, and we definitely will tell Doc you said hi tomorrow as well.
Yeah, please do, and call me anytime. I'd love to join you.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Eli. We appreciate it.
All right,
Eli
Gold,
play-by-play guy for you too. Play-by-play guy for the University of Alabama.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.